Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Monday edition, Steve Jones Show, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. It was great to have all the Purdys out there on Wednesday. It was our privilege to be a part of the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, in which they raised significant money to help out the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And the Purdys were incredible hosts, and we can't thank them enough. More than $20,000, by the way, was raised for the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. 22 years of that tournament, and they're getting ready for year 23 coming up as well. That's giving back to the community. That's why we're proud to have them as one of our sponsors and proud to talk about them as often as we can. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And after a big weekend, we can open up the phone lines and talk with you on the Hilsers General Store hotline at 1-800-795-9565. All this powered by Hilsers General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15, the 21st century version of the General Store. You can always preview it by going to www.hilsersstore.com. It is a big week for us here on the Steve Jones Show. We had a big week last week, being at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club and also out at Medlar Field, Lebronto Park. And we've taken the show on the road many times in the past year and a half. Now we're going to go to Merriam, and the U.S. Open Golf Championship will be there for the practice round on Wednesday. We'll be there for round one on Thursday. We are absolutely looking forward to it. Before we get to that, time for Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. The deals are heating up at Sunbury Motors Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Hyundai is the fastest growing import dealer in all of Central PA. And SMC has over 50 to choose from, with savings up to $3,500. Sunbury Motors has 10 of the fuel efficient Hyundai Elantra coupes starting at $16,645. Pick from 15 of the top selling 2013 Hyundai Sonatas, and they're as low as $19,730. All with America's best warranty at 10 years and 100,000 miles. As always, SMC is making American luxury affordable with Lincoln. You want savings? Check out the new Lincoln Navigator with over 10 grand in discounts.
That's not small change.
Stop in and drive the all-new Lincoln MKZ, an awesome car with an awesome ride. So get to the big black building in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza across from Wise Markets and see two great manufacturers at one great location, because the deals are hot at Sunbury Motors Lincoln Hyundai.
Great to have you with us on this Monday. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. You're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilsers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilsers General Store. Go to www.hilsersstore.com. Hilsers General Store, located about 7 miles south of Sealands Grove, routes 11 and 15. I know that Shade Mountain Winery, of course, is one of our sponsors along the way. I was there yesterday, as a matter of fact. You're like, really? Yeah, on the beautiful deck and everything. As I had to go down to Middleburg yesterday. Beautiful ride down 104. So, yeah. So, well, I have to stop in there. I like it very, very much. Great to have you with us on this Monday. The Heat, of course, won last night. Won by 19, 103 to 84. Series now tied at a game apiece. Heading back to San Antonio for the next 3, 4, and 5, starting tomorrow night at AT&T Center in San Antonio. And Stanley Cup final, first original six finals since 1979,
Chicago Blackhawks and the Boston Bruins. The Bruins took out the Penguins, gave up two goals in the process along the way. Coming up, we will have Oliver Marmol, the manager of the State College Spikes. He is 26 years old, and he's managing already in the minor leagues. So we'll have him on the show next half hour. Coming up tomorrow, Mike Ferguson on sports bullying. Monday, former Major League pitcher John Rocker is going to be on the show. And, of course, it's also opening day for the New York Penn League for both Williamsport and State College. I'm going to have to get Gabe here on the show pretty soon. Talk to Gabe about the Williamsport season coming up and everything that goes with it. Looking forward to it. And we're at the U.S. Open on Wednesday and Thursday. Oh, what the heck. Big event here in Pennsylvania. Might as well be there and be a part of it. So that's what we're doing. And, of course, then we'll eventually go to Pocono. Imagine me going to Pocono with Kevin. The excitement where I'm in his wheelhouse, his backyard. IndyCar racing. People essentially going around in a circle times. Lots of left-hand turns. We'll be doing that in July. Might as well count down to that moment. Yeah, so if I was going to stay for the race, I said, no. I'm doing this show on Friday, and then I'm leaving. I have a ball game that night anyway. I don't know if I could take being with him the entire time during an IndyCar race. With him telling me the subtleties of fuel mixtures and things like that. Like, I go to the pump, I know it's 90% gas, 10% ethanol, I put it in the tank. That's what I know about fuel mixtures. So we have a lot going on. The Phillies are back below 500. What in the heck? Going to Milwaukee? Just when you think they're just on the verge of doing well? Just when you think they're on the verge of maybe taking off a little bit? Nope. They're back under 500 again. The best record in the American League belongs to the Red Sox. Game and a half up on the Yankees. Four of the five teams in the American League East are over 500. The only team in the American League Central that's over 500, Detroit. Everybody else is under. Texas leads the West by just a half game over Oakland. Angels spent all that money. They're 10 and a half games back. They're nine games under 500. Atlanta. They're the only team over 500 in the East. Washington is at 500. The Phillies right now are two under and 8.5 back. Phillies have been outscored by 41 runs, have lost three in a row. St. Louis is having a great year. They have the best record in baseball, period. The Pirates and Reds are four games back, both doing well. And out West, three teams are over 500. Two you wouldn't expect, Arizona, Colorado, to go with the Giants. Arizona leads the West right now. But the Phillies at this particular point are 31-33, 16-15 at home, 15-16 on the road, 15-18 on the road. They've been outscored by 41 runs. And typical of what the Phillies have done, they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. Meanwhile, at the U.S. Open, where it will be Wednesday, Thursday, at least that's the plan, Sergio Garcia has approached Tiger Woods. and wants to talk. Talk about what? Garcia had a brief exchange with Woods today at Marion, shaking his hand on the driving range and apparently attempting to move toward reconciliation. First time the two have been face-to-face since Garcia made a fried chicken directed at Woods on May 21st at a European tour function outside of London. Garcia has since apologized, both in a statement and during a news conference, that Woods said at the memorial 2 weeks ago the matter was done, that it was time to move on. Still, there has been no face-to-face apology from Garcia. Asked about their brief exchange after the practice round, Woods politely said, "I'm not going there," and simply made reference to a Tuesday news conference in advance of the U.S. Open at Marion. The driving range where the handshake took place is on Marion's west course, where the players practiced this week before shuttling to the east course, the site of the tournament. Tension heightened between the two last month during the third round of the Players' Championship, and Garcia suggested that Woods showed poor form in pulling a club from his bag, thereby causing spectators to cheer just as he was about to hit a shot, one that he hit poorly. From there, a series of jabs went back and forth between Garcia and Woods in the media, with gallery marshals offering different takes on the matter and neither player seemingly willing to budge and move on. But their ire escalated when Garcia's attempted humor went bad. He was jokingly asked if he would have dinner with Woods this week at the U.S. Open. He replied, "We'll have to have him in, round every night. We will serve fried chicken." Such references are viewed as racial stereotypes, and Woods did not take kindly to the remarks, saying on Twitter that they were wrong, hurtful, and inappropriate. Garcia is still at the BMW Championships 3 weeks ago, told reporters he wished to speak to Woods. He says, "We talked to his manager and asked him if he wanted us to call Tiger or wait to Marion and do a face-to-face. And they said they would rather do it there. There's nothing we can do, so we'll wait until we get there and we'll talk," which they did today. Garcia is also due to speak with the media on Tuesday, apparently made the first effort on Monday. He then played several practice holes accompanied by a police officer. No word on whether the police officer shot an under par round.
I laughed.
I'm glad somebody did. That was actually the point. Then there's our guy, Chad Johnson, one of the single most overrated athletes in the history of sport. Johnson was sentenced today to 30 days in jail for a probation violation in a domestic violence case by a judge who angrily rejected a no-jail plea after Johnson playfully slapped his attorney on the backside in court. Johnson, also known as Ocho Cinco, or his jersey number in Spanish during his playing days, had reached a deal with prosecutors calling for community service and counseling instead of jail. Broward County Judge Kathleen McHugh said that she would tack on an additional 3 months probation because Johnson failed to meet his probation officer during the three previous months. It was all set until Johnson would ask by McHugh if he was satisfied with his lawyer, Adam Swickle, gave his attorney a slight swat in the rear, as the football players would do. The courtroom erupted in laughter, and at that point, McHugh said, "Well, I'm not accepting the deal. I don't know that you're taking this whole thing seriously. I just saw you slap your attorney on the backside. Is there something funny about this?" McHugh said, slapping the plea deal document down at her desk. The whole courtroom was laughing. "I'm not going to accept these plea negotiations. This is not a joke." Johnson, 35, tried to apologize and insisted that he meant no disrespect. Johnson was on probation after pleading no contest to headbutting his then-wife TV reality star Evelyn Lozada during an altercation last August. She quickly filed for divorce after barely a month of marriage, and Johnson, the six-time Pro Bowl receiver, was immediately released by the Miami Dolphins. He didn't play at all last season. "This is your courtroom. I have no intent to make this a joke. It's not funny," Johnson told the judge. "My life is in a shambles right now, and I try my best to laugh and keep a smile on my face." But McHugh, who could have given Johnson up to a year in jail, was not moved. "It's not the first time he's behaved that way in my courtroom," she said. Johnson then was handcuffed and hauled away to jail 30 days worth. Swickle declined comment on whether he would seek a reduced sentence. Johnson's been undergoing therapy aimed at helping people involved in domestic violence, but has not signed with another NFL team. He said in court Monday he hoped that would change in the upcoming football season, but now faces another setback. Normally when you're in jail, they don't let you practice. News is next. Then Ollie Marmol, the 26-year-old manager of the State College Spikes.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome. Great to have you with us on the Monday edition. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Marcus Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Hilsher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilsher's General Store. 7 miles south of Sealands Grove, routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilsherstore.com, the 21st century version of the General Store. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And on the Hilsher's General Store hotline, we welcome in the manager of the State College Spikes, all of 26 years old, Oliver Marmol. Ollie, welcome. It's great to have you with us. What have you accomplished in extended spring training down there to get this team ready for the upcoming summer?
We're seeing some really good things down here in extended. We've been down here with this program for a couple months, about 8 weeks, and the guys are making a ton of progress. We are not completely locked in on who's going up there, but we have an idea of a couple guys and the progress that they've made. We're really excited about. So we're looking forward to it as they continue to develop and expecting them to have a pretty good year.
One thing that you can't control as a manager is you can't control really the makeup of the club, and the draft, of course, is underway. Did you take some time personally just to take a look at the draft as it went along, just to maybe get an idea of a guy or two that could come to State College?
Yeah, just a tad. Last night I was able to take a peek at it. We've been busy with the guys that we have in our program down here. But, yeah, you take a look and kind of start to see what guys may come to you or may go somewhere else. But one thing that we trust is that they've done a very good job, our scouting department, of drafting high-character guys. So we don't have a real say on where they go, but we trust that those guys are getting the best players with the highest character, so we're looking forward to it.
For you, at the age of 26, here you are managing, and it's not the first time through for you managing. When did you identify yourself and say, you know what, that's a route I would like to go? And obviously the Cardinals opened that door, but when did you start to get the feeling that's something you wanted to do in your life?
Wow. Even in college, I knew it was something that I wanted to do. It was always on the back burner after I finished my career playing. But it was always something that intrigued me, just the managing aspect of it. So even in college and in pro ball, as I started to get around some of the guys like Mark DeJohn and Mike Schilt, who really know the game and kind of mentored me as a player and now as a manager, I really had a drive to do this at some point in my career.
Yeah, DJ, of course, was here the first year when the Cardinals were the affiliate in State College, and Mike Schilt was his third base coach at that particular time. So Joe Putnam and I know both of them extremely well. You mentioned the mentoring part of it. What did you pick up along the way? And this is a growth process, but what did you pick up along the way that has allowed you to grow as a manager that you know you still draw upon that mentorship as you move forward?
Wow. I mean, between those two guys, they've taught me a ton as a player. They've taught me a ton. And as a manager, just different things as far as the organization is one that just expects excellence. And it's our job to kind of set that tone as a manager to make sure that the staff and the players are following suit. And those two guys do that really well. But just the way they go about their daily work, they're very professional, and they kind of demand that out of everyone that's around them during that time. So just the way they carry themselves and carry a team was very influential in the way that I kind of handle myself on the field as well. So there's a lot of different things that they've taught me along the way, and I continue to learn from them daily. It's always good to be around them. But between those two guys, I've learned a ton.
You're not that far removed yourself from being a player. We know at this level, and this is something Joe Putnam and I have experienced for a long time here, these guys, I think, for the most part, feel about as good as they do on their last at-bat. They don't get too caught up in, hey, look, I'm on an 8-game streak and I feel great. They really feel like the last at-bat. Being 26 and not that far removed, has that allowed you to relate to them a bit better, at least emotionally, and you can think how they think?
Yes, I definitely say it does, just because it wasn't too far removed where I was going through the same emotional highs and lows as them, and I keep that in mind as I might manage the club. But I would say absolutely. There's a level of being able to relate to them that I think helps them, especially their first year. And one thing we try to preach is that throughout the organization, it's a process, and we take it that way. We want these kids to understand that they're going to fail, and being a first-year player going to state college and having a young manager, I think, yeah, definitely does help.
Here's the next part. What is the Cardinal philosophy when it comes to how – because you have to go by what the Cardinals tell you in pitchers. What's the Cardinal philosophy on pitch counts, especially early in the season? How much of a leash do you have on these guys, or can they go a little bit longer based on the Cardinal philosophy compared to other organizations?
Yeah, it's really going to depend, especially with the draft guys. It's going to depend on their history, where they're coming from, how many innings they've thrown this season. So all that comes into play. With the guys that we have here in our extended program, it's a little different because we've kind of progressed them through their pitch count and gotten them to the point where they can throw 5-6 innings. So it'll be different with the guys that we're taking up there from our program and the guys that are going to be joining us from different programs and different colleges. It'll be different with every player, but we plan on stretching some of these guys out that we have coming up from our program down here. We'll keep an eye out on the pitch count that they've had at their colleges and the amount of innings that they've thrown, and keep all that into consideration as well.
When you put together a post-game report, what are some of the important factors the Cardinals want to see in that report from you?
Just quality. We're not so interested in you went 2-for-4 today. It's more of having quality plate appearances. For a position player, that's very important. It's something we put a lot of weight into. It's just making sure that you're not giving up at bats, that you're focused throughout the game, that you're able to deal with failure. For a pitcher, it's their ability to keep their composure when things don't go their way, to have good poise on the mound, execute some of the fundamentals of the game when things start to speed up. So those are some of the important things that go into the report rather than just their line score of giving up 6 hits and 3 runs and throwing 5 innings. You know, there's more to it than that, and we place a lot of value in it.
Obviously, developing individuals that can get, obviously, eventually to the majors, and there were 9 guys off the first state college team here in 2006 that made it to the majors, many, you know, including the Alan Craigs and the Jason Motz there with the Cardinals now. Even though it's individuals, how much of an emphasis in the end do you put on winning, and does that develop a winning attitude mentally?
Yeah, like if you stick around the clubhouse long enough, you won't really hear us talk about winning as much as you'll hear the word development, especially at the lower level. But I think they do go hand in hand, and a winning environment does lend itself to development and vice versa. So we focus on developing players, and I think the organization has done a very good job of that and giving these guys an opportunity to play on the big league club, and we keep sending guys up there. So yes, winning is important, but if we continue to develop these players to play at their highest potential, then I think it goes hand in hand that you'll end up having a winning club. So we'll continue to preach that it's a process, of development, and then at the end of the year, come playoff time, we'll see where we're at.
In the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings, though, does winning kick in for you as a man, as a manager?
The scoreboard's on, absolutely.
Gotcha,
once those innings kick in, and you're looking, and you see the score, and you see the outs, and you're looking at your pen, the competitive drive in you, absolutely. It's part of it, and I think you keep that in mind and put guys in position where you're going to challenge them a little bit. Sometimes you put guys in position where you know they're going to succeed and build their confidence, but late innings, yeah, you look at the scoreboard and you want to make sure that you're developing players in the right spot, but winning is part of it, and it's in the back of your mind at all times, but you have to kind of keep a good balance between winning and development.
I think you just put a lot of smiles on a lot of faces of fans, okay, with that particular answer. I think they just love to hear exactly what you just said. Oh, no, it's all okay. Look, it's their process, it's development, but you know what? There's 107,000 seats here where they love winning, okay?
So, absolutely.
Which you'll see.
And I really do believe it goes hand in hand. I mean,
yeah.
You'll never hear really talk about winning, but we're developing a championship, like – players are going to be able to help us win a championship, and that's part of development, putting them in a winning atmosphere. So we preach development. We'll continue to do that. It's a process, but we absolutely love to win.
The Cardinals are a Gold Star organization. What makes them, from a player's point of view, which you've been through, but also from a management point of view, which you're in now, what makes them a Gold Star organization? Not just in baseball, but in sports itself.
Gosh, as soon as you, as a drafted player, as soon as you walk in through the doors, there's just a demand for excellence in everything that you do, whether it's the way you put your uniform on, to the weight room, to the way you take the field, the way you execute fundamentals, the way you play the game. There's just a call for excellence, and I think that's from the very top all the way to the bottom, and nobody lets up. There's just a culture of winning around here, and that's what people expect. And with that comes the responsibility of doing things the right way at all times. So from everybody, from our general manager to our extended program down here, there's just a calling for excellence in the way we do things. And you sense that the very second you become a staff member for us. Things are just done differently, and they're expected to be done right. And it's a great environment to be in.
To say we're looking forward to working with you over the next 3 months would be an understatement, because we really are. We're excited to have you here. Can't wait to actually meet you in person and work with you all summer. Thank you so much for the valuable time you gave us.
No, I really appreciate it. Looking forward to it, and thank you.
Oliver Marmol. 26 years of age, and he's the manager of the State College Spikes. Now, of course, we'll talk a lot about the Williamsport Crosscutters. They'll open the season with the Spikes at Medler Field at Lebronto Park coming up Monday night, and then the home opener at Bowman Field, historic Bowman Field, will be Tuesday night for the Philadelphia Phillies affiliate, the Williamsport Crosscutters. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
You need a...
Head toward the top of the hour. Thanks to Ollie Marmol for joining us. But at the same time, we're going to do a lot of stuff with the Williamsport Crosscutters. Gabe Sinacopi does a great job with that organization. I like talking baseball with Gabe, talking organization with Gabe, and we'll work to get him on the show here shortly, especially with their home opener coming up on Tuesday night. At historic Bowman Field. And, of course, being the Phillies affiliate, that's why we did what we did about the draft on Friday. Some of the guys, not all, but some of the guys that we talked about are going to end up either at Port or State College this summer. Now, if you're a college player, odds of being willing to Florida State College grow exponentially. If you're a high school player, probably not. You're going down to the Gulf Coast League. What's interesting, though, in the Cardinals organization, they have one mid-level area, and that's Johnson City. So State College is actually the third level in their organization. Williamsport, I believe, is the second level in the Phillies organization. Gulf Coast League, Williamsport, then it's Lake, I think, was it Lakewood? So different, it's a little bit different between the organization. The Cardinals were here in 2006, and nine of those players ended up making the major leagues. They've been a Pirate affiliate ever since. So now the shuffle is Williamsport is still Philadelphia, State College, the St. Louis Cardinals, Jamestown's now the Pittsburgh Pirates, and Batavia will be the Florida Marlins, or the Miami Marlins. So a little bit of a shuffle here, and that shuffle, again, when it got to be 12:01 and the door was open and the Cardinals called right away at 12:01, they had the deal done in 7 minutes. That's how badly the Cardinals wanted to get back into State College. They sent a lot of people in here, too. Walt Jocketty, who is now the general manager of the Cincinnati Reds, was the GM of the Cardinals back in 2006, and they won the World Series that year. He made State College Williamsport to take a look at personnel. And I remember asking him when I had him on the broadcast, I said, how important is it that you not only know what you're acquiring, but you also know that when you get to this level, what you're giving up? And he said, that's the whole ballgame. That's the whole ballgame. We have to know exactly what we're giving up along the way. And that's when he was out on his own scouting that day. He wanted to see exactly what they could be giving up in a trade. And, of course, the Cardinals put themselves in a position where they contend almost every year. Right now they have the best record in baseball. They're playing a .651 clip right now on the major league level. They're also the group that did not give Albert Pujols the 10-year contract. Pujols wanted a 10-year, $230 million deal. The Cardinals said no. They didn't want to mortgage the future on one guy. He ended up getting 10 years, $225 million with the Angels. A calculated gamble by the Cardinals, yet it's paid off for them. They have enough other people to fill the void. Early on, though, I was doing a ball game, 2006. I was doing a game at Auburn, upstate New York, Finger Lakes, about 20 miles west of Syracuse. And it was blistering hot. It was July. And it was 98 degrees. So I sit down in the booth and I set up and I'm on the left-hand side of the booth and there's no air conditioning inside this booth. So in order to get any kind of airflow in there, they open up both doors, one at each end. Well, the one they open up on my end also has the sun beating down on me at the same time. And I'm sitting there in a golf shirt and long pants. And I am sweating, as you would expect. So the next day, I thought to myself, I've never done this before. I have never worn shorts when I broadcast a game. I never have. But I drove over to the Finger Lakes Mall in Seneca Falls. And I picked up a pair of shorts. Because it was going to be 98 again, and the third game of the series was going to be 98. So I go down to do the pregame show with then-manager Mark Dijon. And DJ says, hey, by the way, Steve, just so you know, he says, it's a rule throughout the Cardinal organization. Nobody's allowed on the field in shorts. Everybody has to be wearing long pants. And I looked at him and I said, the second I get a check from the Cardinal organization, is the second I change. So I had shorts that night. I had shorts the next night. It's the only time I've ever done that. I haven't done it since. Even when it was 102 degrees here 2 years ago, 102 degrees at game time one night, still wore long pants and a golf shirt. But a little bit different here. You're really in the shade. You know, they do, even though we have the windows open in the booth, there is an air conditioning system. You know, so even though it was blistering hot, at least you felt like you had some relief. That night in Auburn, I didn't. The sun was literally beating down on me, 98 degrees. Which, that's the way it is in the minors. But it was stifling that night. So off to the Finger Lakes Mall. I know the area pretty well. My late father's family lives up in there. I have uncles and aunts that all live up there. And like, you can't do that. I said, yeah, I can. I don't work for the Cardinals. The Pirates allowed shorts in their workouts, by the way. You know, they were in fact, the Pirates were always out there in tops and shorts every day when they worked out. A little bit different. Now they're in Jamestown. Dave Turgeon had been the manager here last summer in State College. He called me up on the phone one day and I said, how do you feel about this? He says, well, he says, there's one way of looking at it. He says, there's not a lot to do up there, so we could really concentrate on baseball. Well, I guess that's one way of looking at it. A lot to talk about in the next hour, including the lawsuits that the NCAA is facing, the paternal lawsuit, Miami, problems at North Carolina, the O'Bannon lawsuit, which is, you know, I know for fans here, the paternal lawsuit is the biggest one, but nationally, the one that could do the greatest damage is the O'Bannon lawsuit, where it's obvious when they're using likeness of players on EA Sports. Happens to be. I mean, you know that, well, it's Braxton Miller wearing number 5 in the game. Just like you knew it was Tim Tebow wearing 15 in the Florida jersey. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Green and Sunbury, go to PurdyInsurance.com.